setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Welcome, folks. This is where we talk about you and how you can win at work and, as a result, win at life. You realize how much time you spend at work? Just think about one day, then 5 days. Oh, yeah, here we go. Uh-oh, this is going to cause indigestion for some of you, but hang on. Then you think about how much time you spend at work in a month, 6 months, a year, lifetime. I'll tell you the number. It's almost too big to process. 90,000 hours is what the average American will spend at work in their life. And if it's not fulfilling, it is going to have negative effects on you. And some of you don't even realize it. And you're checking the show out, right? You're going, okay, I want to get there. I want that. I'm telling you, purpose in your work will lead to purpose in your relationships. You're not going to be dragging all that crap home with you. There's a better life waiting for you. And part of it is better work, the right work, the work that you were born to do. Let's help you do it. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 to jump in. First, should you skip college? Skip it in the sense of you're already in it and you're not sure if it's paying off so far. You feel like it's something you want to do. Uncertain, got a little pressure, put you in the path that you're on. Not happy in your work. And you're thinking, well, if I pivot, I'm going to have to go get a new degree. Or are you a parent? I don't know. You're just going, hey, that's the path for my kid, but I'm just not sure what. He or she's not sure. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. All right, so let's just take all of those different people. Okay, this is a cultural pressurized problem that college is the only way or it's the best way to success. Sometimes it is. I will readily admit that. But understand, the economy and the world at work has changed so dramatically from the time that we started college. It was the best way for employers to kind of go, okay, you aren't a loser. That really was the tag. Oh, if you have a degree, then you are in the upper echelon of people. If you don't have a degree, a little worried about you. You're a greaser, right? If I really go back to the 50s and 60s, I mean, let's just be honest. Joe, you're shaking your head. You understand that. You know, it's kind of like, it was like the character John Travolta was kind of the bad boy in Grease, right? He's a greaser. There's no hope for that guy. He's going to work at a trade. No, I'm being serious. I mean, this was the narrative that higher ed and state governments and the federal government, they grabbed onto this. They're like, well, if you don't want to be a greaser, well, you got to go to college. And so what did companies do? So companies bought the narrative. And companies were like, oh, well, everybody else is saying that if you don't have a college degree, you're not dependable. You aren't high character enough, high quality enough. So they bought the narrative. So they started making hiring. They went, oh. So they started putting in the job description, bachelor's degree required. When in all reality, even back then, that wasn't necessarily true. Helpful? Sure. Was it really job readiness back then? I have questions. But certainly now, a college degree is less and less about job readiness. And it's still about status. In fact, it's more about status. Some people now are openly just saying, I've been in conversations with friends who I disagree with on this, but they openly say, well, you know, it's probably right. But it's a rite of passage. It's a good experience. They need to go and experience college life. Do they? Why? Now, I will just tell you point blank, if we didn't have the scourge of the student loan debt, over $4 trillion, the average student loan debt in the United States right now is over $37,000, because the cost for in-state students is $26,820 and a whopping $43,000 for out-of-state students. So that's driving the debt, because it's good debt. You'll be able to pay it off. It's going to get you a good job and a good life. So, of course, you should take this giant heavy rock and tie it around your neck. I mean, that's really what is happening. So if this didn't exist, I will tell you that I wouldn't be saying what I'm saying about, well, do they really need the rite of passage? I go, you know what? Sure. They want four more years to learn and you know, because they are developing. And by the way, that's a whole nother issue. Think about the pressure we put on these kids whose brains are still developing. We won't let them drink. Of course, we all know what's going on at college anyway, so that's a whole nother farce, separate show. But they're not legally able to drink. And they're graduating at the same time that we now go, it is acceptable for you to now have an alcoholic beverage. You have reached the level of maturity by which we will allow you to drink legally. Think about how preposterous this is. And by this point, they're 3 or 4 years in, they're done, they're out of college. They're supposed to figure out what they're going to do with their life. Now, it is possible. I can tell you right now, we can show a kid. We can give them the clues through talent, passion, and mission. We really can. We've got the methodology here on the show. And they can learn and discover it. But whatever happened to where we got to a point in society that we poo-pooed and looked down our nose at kids who take a gap year or 2 years and explore a little bit and work? They're losers. Oh, Ken, I didn't say that. Okay. You didn't say it, but you're acting like it. Oh, Ken. No. You are so freaked out that you would be embarrassed, parents. You would forget the parents that are listening. You young people, you'd be terrified and embarrassed to go, well, I'm going to work a couple years after high school and kind of just figure some things out. I want to try some things. It's like you say it with that tone, that shame. Where does that come from? It comes from the cultural pressure and expectation that you have got to go to college. It is the right step. By the way, I am willing to admit that it might be the right step for some, but it's not spoken in those terms. It is the step, not the right step. It is the step, big difference. And that's the pressure that's put on it. And it is driving massive amounts of debt. It is driving massive amounts of anxiety, depression, distraction, and all manner of things because of the weight of the debt and the weight of not doing something that you actually really love and you feel stuck. And that sucks. Don't move. Your call's coming up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, and we are here to help you solve the work problem you have. What is that? You know what it is. Come on, just be honest. What is it? Because we can help you. Let me give you the range of the problem. Some people are going, well, I mean, it's conceivable you're listening to the show because you want to get sports data, isn't it? No, of course not. You're listening to the show because you're not where you want to be. Can we say that? There's a gap between where you are and where you want to be. And let me tell you something. We can help you. We have the clear path. The seven stages will get you over the gap. We'll build the bridge for you, whether it's more income or it's more impact, or it's both, or it's figuring out what it is, or how to get there, or coming back out of the cave of shame, whether that be because of failure, or finances, or your family, who knows? I understand those problems. I have lived them. I have overcome them, and you can too. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Todd in Des Moines, Iowa. Todd, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Good to be speaking with you. So appreciate you and all the Ramsey team have done to influence and guide my family into smarter finances and doing a lot of things smarter than we used to.
Awesome. Well, good. How can I help?
All right. So I'm in a sales role for a residential subcontractor. And as you know, anything residential construction related in the last 3 years especially has been growing at a really, really rapid pace. Sometimes it feels like an unmanageable pace. Work volume is just high. I'm working more hours than I would like to, about 11 or 12 hours a day. So it's not terrible, but just a fair amount of stress and pressure. And I'm wondering, the expression golden handcuffs, I'm going, am I in golden handcuffs? What does that mean? Because I'm making a higher income than I anticipated making, really at any point in my life. But I also wonder if this is where I should be long term, and how I might, look at a transition or have a better outlook on what's been going on here the last few years.
Mm-hmm. What emotions do you experience, or what primary emotion do you experience when you think about leaving this to go do something else? What do you feel?
I feel concerned because I have a Bible college degree and all I've done is sales, and moving into a lateral move into a really similar sales role in the same industry, I think is going to net the same issues we're having now as far as where I'm at, as my level of stress, my level of joy and enjoyment of the work. It is hard to put my finger on any other role where I could, make it feels like even a fraction of what I'm doing now. And then I've been doing this for 20 years, so I have a great customer base. And if I were to transition another sales role, I would, have to ramp up my customer base again.
So, yes, the answer is to your initial question, you are definitely experiencing golden handcuffs. Because you got a really good job with really good pay. And it's, I don't think that you can even fathom a better future by the way you just described your emotions. I'm not even sure you even believe there's a better job for you than the one you have. I think you think you've topped out. That's what I think.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
Do you have any evidence of that?
I would do, I would be making less income.
Do you have any evidence of that?
Yes, because when I look at jobs that I'm qualified for,
forget that. Forget the qualified for. Do you have any evidence? Because see, the qualified for list is just one list. True?
True.
Uh-huh. So let's look at the whole world of work. Something you'd do tomorrow if you knew you couldn't fail and it gave you great income opportunities, even beyond what you're making now. And you didn't have to work 11, 12 hours a day, because you shouldn't have to, by the way. That's a false narrative.
All right.
You're telling me that there's something out there? There's nothing out there, rather, that you would try?
There's nothing that I can put my finger on. Okay. For instance, I'm interested in like the human services field, and a lot of those jobs are going to be like $35,000 to $50,000.
Why are you interested in? Wait a second. What would you forget the human services job titles you've looked up? What is it that you would love to do if money wasn't an object?
I would love to help, help mentor and empower and help, especially men, do better with their lives, families, careers. My Bible college degree is in counseling, by the way. So I have a heart for that. I do have a heart for, leadership and seeing people change their lives.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You've been selling for 20 years, correct?
Yes.
Aren't you wildly qualified to be a sales manager, sales leader, a VP of sales somewhere?
I think there's potential for that.
No, you didn't answer my question. Are you, based on 20 years of sales experience and successful sales experience, are you qualified to lead a team of salespeople?
Yes, I am.
I think a VP of sales could make more money than you're making now. You're not in a leadership position now, are you?
No, I'm not.
See where we're going here?
Yeah. And then I get to be involved in leadership and helping mentor and things like that.
And counsel. Half of leadership is counseling. True or false?
True. Yeah, it makes sense.
Dude. Is there a leadership opportunity at your company right now? Could you step into a sales leadership role? Or is it are you stuck behind somebody that's going to be there a while? Are there other opportunities?
I'm stuck behind somebody who's going to be there for a while.
How many jobs have you looked at in the last 30 days that were VP of sales jobs?
I mean, I have notifications coming in on sales management roles. Okay. So I'm looking, and I'm looking up different positions.
Okay,
many involve travel.
But you're making all kinds of excuses again. You called me, and you're going, Ken, I can't put my finger on something that would allow me to make more money than I'm making now, or the same amount of money, and allow me to have a little bit more life balance. I can't find it.
Okay.
Are we ready to change our narrative?
Sounds good. Yes.
Seriously, I'm not picking on you. I'm coaching you right now.
No, this is exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah, dude, keep looking.
All right.
Are you a father?
Yes.
How old is one of you? Give me an example of one of the kids. What ages are they?
11.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay. We're 4 to 16.
Great. Let's take your 11-year-old. Let's just make it up. I'm sure it's happened, but we'll make up the hypothetical. 11-year-old comes to you and goes, Dad, I can't find my soccer socks. And you say, they're in your closet. Dad, I'm telling you, I just can't find them.
Okay.
They're in your room. I know you're in there. They may not be in the closet where they're supposed to be, but they're in your room. And the kid goes, I can't put my finger. I can't find them. What are you going to say to your kid?
I think I'm going to help you find them, or let's go find them.
No, you're not. You're going to say, keep looking. I know they're in there.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's how I parent. You may be a nicer parent than me, but I go, I know they're in there. I saw them last week. Go keep looking. Don't give me any more excuses as to why you can't find them. My point to you is you need to follow your own advice. Okay. Now you can go to people and parent, and you can take your parenting style and go, hey, I need some help finding some great VP of sales jobs. Okay. I'll give you my book, From Paycheck to Purpose. How about I help you? How about I help you find your socks? And I'm going to give you my new book. It's a bestseller, From Paycheck to Purpose. And I want you to really lock in on stage 3, Get Connected. Okay? Because that's the key to finding the right gig and getting it. Hang on the line. We'll get it to you, Todd. Keep looking! The socks are in there! The Ken Coleman Show is helping you get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job so that you can give yourself away. That's what we're helping you do. Where are you on that journey? Where are you now? Where do you want to be? How can we help you get there? That's what this is all about. is you don't make the income you want right now. You're not experiencing the impact you desire. That's just a simple fact in your work. And that's why you're listening to the show, or you've at least kicked the tires on it, and we want to help you win at work and in life. If you're on the hunt for a job, I got some great news. More and more job postings still out there because people are quitting like crazy. So we don't even have to create new jobs right now. We got to fill jobs that people are leaving. October saw 4.2 million people leave a job. So we're talking about 12 plus million people over the last 3 months, August, September, October, moving around. And so it's musical chairs, but you got to be careful. Make sure it's the right job, not just the right pay. My friends at ZipRecruiter can help you, though, because the bottom line is still many of you are hanging on because the idea of change is just so fraught with frustration or fear that you don't even want to take it on. And that's why my friends at ZipRecruiter can help. Number one job site in the country. They have unbelievable matching technology that makes it super easy for you, and it's free. Within minutes at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, you can fill out a profile. Attach your resume. Use that Ken Coleman resume. It's free at KenColeman.com. Put it out there, and you keep doing everything you're doing. Keep connecting. Let them go to work for you. They start pitching you. Not cold pitches. They've got companies that are paying them. That's why it's free for you. And these companies say, hey, Zip, we want some talent. So it's not falling on deaf ears, and you get updates. When you get a look, a like, and a request for your contact information, Zip will put them in touch with you. ZipRecruiter.com is the easiest, best way to get hired. Go ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's free. I don't know why you wouldn't just add this to what you're doing. It works. 844-747-2577. Astoria, New York is where we go next. Olivia is on the line. Olivia, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Olivia. What's going on?
Well, first and foremost, I just want to say that you've been such an encourager and an inspiration to me on my career journey.
Wow.
So thank you for that.
Well, I am humbled and grateful to get to be that. What's going on?
So my question is more of an ethical one.
Mm-hmm.
I have been planning to do a career transition, completely different career, completely different job over the past couple of months. And I plan to start applying and interviewing in January. I feel like I've really set myself up for success. I've made connections with people both in the company and recruitment and so on and so forth. But I just found out that I'm pregnant.
Mm.
So while I know that it is illegal to discriminate against a pregnant woman applying for a job, I do, however, see that this could be looked at as an inconvenience as a new hire. And I just am not sure when I should disclose this in an interview that doesn't come off as a disadvantage, but also doesn't come off as dishonest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, and I love it. It's complex. But I think that the key to complexity is simplicity. That's just what I believe. And so anytime I've got a complex situation in my life, I try to simplify it. So I'm going to try to simplify it for you.
Okay.
I want you for a moment to then change hats. And I want you to truly suspend your, well, Ken, I mean, I could get discriminated against. I'd never know, but it's illegal. But how would I know? If you were hiring you, what would you want to know? When would you want to know it? You have to flip the script here. I mean this. Like, what do you think that you would want to know?
I mean, I think it's really important to be honest, because I wouldn't want to know, like, too far down.
No.
Because then I would question the person's character.
Bingo. So you must do what you would want someone else to do with you. And the reason is because, A, you know that's right. And right is never going to be a disadvantage. Am I saying that by you being honest and letting them know, hey, I just found out I'm pregnant, that they're not going to come up with some excuse to not hire you because they don't want to deal with it? I'm not saying that's not going to happen. It could absolutely happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at what also could happen if you aren't honest with them right away and they start having questions about you and they were going to hire you. They'd hire you in a second. They don't care that you're going to go on maternity leave. They want great talent. But now they're not going to hire you because they feel like they can't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to put all the chips in the table. And I think you take the potential elephant out of the room. That's all you can do. This is the season of life you're in. It's happened. So you've got to go out there and go, hey, super excited about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
In the interview, towards the end of the interview, I'd go, hey, I want to give you full disclosure. You know, I didn't want this to color our conversation, so I'm sharing with you at the end, but in the first interview, and I am jacked about this. Here's why I'm here. I've told you all that. But I just found out recently that I'm pregnant, but the reason I'm still applying is because I want to work. I'm going to work. It's a part of my plan. I'm super fired up about it. But I mm-hmm. wanted you to know at the very end of our first interview, I didn't want to be judged by it then. And I just want you to know, you know, however you want to say that. You don't have to say the judged by it. But the point is just go, hey, I just wanted you to know.
Yeah.
I wanted to make an impression on you. And now I want to let you know that I'm going to have a baby, but I also am going to work and I'm going to return to work and I'm super stoked about this work and I think I could be a massive asset to you, but I don't in any one way mislead you. But I want the job and that's why I'm here. And I think you just own it. You're confident about it and you let them know. I would let them know at the very end of the first interview.
Okay.
Because to me, that's totally on the up and up, right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
How do you feel about that?
A little nervous.
No, I know.
I mean, I feel good about it because I do want to be honest. I don't want to put a bad taste in anyone's mouth, especially in the career that I'm going into that I really see myself excelling in and long term. But a little nervous because it is pretty competitive.
I get it.
But again, I can trust another source.
You got to do what's right. And I would really make sure that you put your best foot forward, enthusiasm and all the things, and then they're going to have to weigh you against somebody else that's not going to be as strong of a candidate as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we are in a great job market for you right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
I know it's competitive, but companies also need talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go heavy on your connections.
Yeah.
And your definitely. Referrals and if you use the Ken Coleman Show resume, go heavy on those endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
And have some of those people be willing to send an email or write a personal note and send it to the hiring manager prior to the interview. I mean, let's pull the battleship guns out, right? Just boom, heavy artillery.
Yeah, yeah.
So that they go, holy cow. Olivia wants this thing, and these people believe in Olivia. I've never had a candidate have their references write handwritten notes to me before. I've never had that happen before. I mean, let's swing for the fences.
Mm-hmm. Just put it all out there.
Yeah. What do you got to lose?
Yeah. No, nothing. I've always had that attitude. It was just, this was more of a surprise. So I'm like, oh.
I know. And tell them that. Tell them that. Go,
yeah,
hey,
yeah,
I got to tell you this.
True.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be a mommy, but this is, whoa, out of left field.
Yeah.
Tell them that. Like, be real and vulnerable. It's wildly attractive. It's wildly attractive.
No, I agree.
Authenticity wins the day. You may not get the job, but you will win as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
No shame
Thank
in your
you
game.
So
no shame in your game, mama. All right?
No. Okay. Right. Thank you so much.
You bet. This is awesome. You know what? I love this call because she didn't see this coming. It was a curveball. And it is changing things, but it doesn't have to change the big picture. And that's the key. Timing may change, opportunity may change, but it hasn't changed the big picture. And so that's great. Really good stuff. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and in life. So what is that? Where do you want to get to? What's the gap you want to cover? Well, we can help you no matter what it is. It may just be emotions. Some of you got some decisions to make. You need some advice on which way to go. Some of you got to overcome some emotions. We'll talk about those emotions. Some of you just need some real clarity. That'll give you confidence wherever you are in the journey. If you're not where you want to be, let's go. It's a free phone call, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia next. Josh is there. Josh, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
I'm living the dream, Josh. What's up?
So I just had a question for you. I took the your career assessment test, and it said that I'm basically in my sweet spot with my job, but whenever I took the should I quit my job quiz, it said that I was in the right place doing the wrong thing. And I'm not really sure what to do.
Okay. Well, what's interesting is that, and I know what you mean, but the assessment doesn't tell you if you're in your sweet spot. The assessment gives you a report, detailed report on what you do best and where you're average and where you're not so good. It gives you a detailed report on what work you love, what work is eh, and what work is yuck. And then it gives you a report on what results matter deeply to you versus they're okay and I don't care at all. And then it fills out those top results of talent, passion, and mission and gives you a purpose statement, which you can then look at the job you're in or jobs you're interested in or jobs that you believe you desire, and you go, does this match up? Is this really in my sweet spot? So I understand what you're saying. And so you took your purpose statement, you looked at your current role, and you went, yep, this is on purpose for me. Is that what I'm hearing?
For the most part.
Yeah, see, there we go. So here's what's interesting. You are the common denominator in both results. Right?
Yes, sir.
You answered the questions. And so when you say for the most part, what do you mean?
So depending on, I guess you could say I implement some of like my talents and passions and missions in my job, but other parts, not so much. And with my job, it, basically what I do to give you like what my job is, I'm in network marketing, and we have an actual like storefront that you can go to and people can go in there and they can like buy the products and you know, taste them, all this stuff. And it's like, I do a lot of my purpose statement in that, in what I do, but at the same time, I'm just not really happy with what I do. So that's why I took the, should I quit my job quiz?
Okay, so we got to hone in on the details. How much, I'm going to ask you two specific questions. Rule of thumb is 75% of your day spent in that sweet spot, then it is absolutely on purpose for you, right? So how much of your day do you spend doing work that you're good at, that you love, that is producing a result that you actually care deeply about? Ballpark.
Probably like, in all reality, like 10 to 20%.
That's the problem. So therein lies the confusion, which is why the should I quit my job quiz spit out the result of you're in the right place at the wrong, in the wrong role. So you love your company. You like the culture. It's good people. You got a lot of great relationships. You like the company, but you're not in the right role. And what you just said validates that. So what you have to do then is go, I'm only spending 10 to 20% of my day doing work that's in my sweet spot. I got to find a role at that company that allows me to spend 75% of my day or more in my sweet spot. So you've tasted. It's like you get a little bit of it, but you don't get to spend much time in it. And therein lies the frustration. Make sense now?
Yes.
So the good news is you know what to look for. The good news is you have a purpose statement. You go, okay, that's the kind of work. So it's really pretty straightforward what you must do. You got to look first before you talk to your leader. I'd look and see, is there another seat or two or three on the bus in the company that you believe you would spend 75% or more of your time in? You go, that's, I'm definitely in my sweet spot. Make sense?
Yes, yes, it does.
All right, now when you find that, let's say you find one or two positions, I think you should take your assessment results and sit down in your leader's one-on-one, in a one-on-one with your leader and go, hey, so I experience a lot of joy in about 10, 20% of my day and my week in these specific areas when I'm doing this work and creating this result. And they're going to go, uh-huh, uh-huh. And you go, but I was like, I want more of that. And I wasn't sure. So I took this Get Clear career assessment from this guy, Ken Coleman, and it's really awesome. Here it is. And I wanted to go over the results with you. And this is what it said. I think it's absolutely spot on. So I want to be in this company. This is if this is true, by the way. And if I want to be here, I think I've identified a couple other seats would allow me to do that. I wanted to get your take on that. And I want your support on that because I want to be here. I just don't think this is the best seat on the bus. That's what you would do. And then hopefully you get their blessing and they recommend you and they can kind of move some things behind the scenes for you to move into those other seats. If you're A, not comfortable doing that, or B, you don't think that the organization and your leader is healthy enough to be able to handle that, then you're looking to another bus.
Okay.
That's what's next for you. Because those positions are out there and now's a super good time to do it. Because if you find the right seat on a different bus out there and they've got that position open, they are looking for talent. There are people leaving right and left, and a lot of seats are opening up on other buses. And even in your company, I'm sure you're seeing that as well, maybe. So that's what you got to do next. Does that give you some clarity and confidence?
Yes, it does.
You the man. You got this, right?
Yes, I got this.
Now, I don't know if you believe that. I'm not going to let you go just yet. Is that just your chill? You're a chill dude. You're cool as the other side of the pillow, or you just don't believe that?
I do definitely lack a lot of self-confidence and self-esteem.
Yeah, I heard it.
I've been told that a lot.
I've heard it. I've heard it through this whole call. I got about a minute and a half left. I'm going to dig here if you'll let me dig. Where's that come from? You don't have to tell me all the details. I don't need to know your whole life story. I only got a minute, but where does that come from? Somebody do something to you, say something to you? Or is this just kind of a series of things that have kind of added up in your life? What's going on?
I'd say definitely a series of things from a not so great home life to my last job before I did this. I worked in a grocery store for 3 years and I was the hardest worker they had, would work 12, 14 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And I would still be told by my managers, you're hopeless. You'll never amount to anything in life. We don't even know why we hired you.
Wow. And that validated some stuff that you heard or felt in your home life.
In a sense.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, can I just tell you today, Josh, that that's not true? You have tremendous value. You have accomplished a lot and you're just getting started. The best is yet to come. You have tremendous value. In your uniqueness is your greatness. Do you get me?
Yes, sir.
Including the scars and the hurts and the stuff you've overcome. I'm glad you called today because I think you needed to hear that more than you needed to hear my advice on what you do. You got me?
Yes.
Get your head up.
I do.
Get your head up, man. You're tremendously valuable. And you're going to do something really good with your life. I can't wait to see it. Give me a call back once you land this job. Give me a call back. I want people to hear the rest of your story. Oh, I love it. I want him to call back, Amanda. Let's get him back on when he gets where he wants to go on the right seat of the bus. That's a big journey that others need to hear. Hey, you matter. You have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.